Welcome to the room. We are going to take a little more in-depth view of the term, the acceptable year of the Lord. Let's start by turning to Isaiah 61, verse 1. Isaiah 61, verse 1. The Spirit of the Lord God is upon me, because the Lord hath anointed me to preach good tidings unto the meek. He hath sent me to bind up the brokenhearted, to proclaim liberty to the captives, and the opening of the prison to them that are bound. Well, that was not talking about the return of the Lord to the earth. Isaiah 61, verse 1 and part of verse 2 prophesied of things that occurred during Christ's earthly ministry. Already happened. John 8:32, you shall know the truth, and the truth shall make you free. Ye, in that verse, ye shall know the truth. Ye was Christ's disciples that he was addressing in John chapter 8. So let's go on. We'll continue with verse 2, but going through verse 1 again in Isaiah 61. The Spirit of the Lord God is upon me, because the Lord hath anointed me to preach good tidings unto the meek. He sent me to bind up the brokenhearted, to proclaim liberty to captives, and to and the opening of the prison to them that are bound, to proclaim the acceptable year of the Lord, and the day of vengeance of our God, to comfort all that mourn. See who it is that mourns as we look in Zechariah. Zechariah 12, verse 10. And I will pour upon the house of David and upon the inhabitants of Jerusalem the spirit of grace and of supplications. And they shall look upon me whom they've pierced, and they shall mourn for him as one mourneth for his only son, and shall be in bitterness for him as one that is in bitterness for his firstborn. Those who mourn for him then are those who have pierced him, Israel. At the second coming of Christ to the earth, Israel looks up and realizes, wow, did we ever blow it? Jesus really is the risen Messiah. And they'll realize it. It'll be for Israel like it was for Saul of Tarsus, trembling and astonished, it says, when he actually saw the risen Christ and realized that he was on the wrong side of things. Saul of Tarsus was against Jesus, thinking he was a fraud, until he saw him on the Damascus Road. Israel will be trembling and astonished when they look up in the sky and see Jesus Christ coming back to earth. They see Jesus Christ, whom they have pierced, coming in the clouds with power and great glory. Israel is going to mourn. Part of Israel's... Well, okay, Messiah's duty at that time... Let's see here, verse 2, what it says, to proclaim the acceptable year of the Lord and the day of vengeance of our God, to comfort all that mourn. So there's two things mentioned there, aren't there? To proclaim the acceptable year of the Lord and the day of vengeance of our God. We see Messiah's activities which he accomplished on earth during his time before his ascension back to heaven. That would be in verse 1 that we started with, and the beginning of verse 2, the acceptable year of the Lord. Then in Isaiah 2b, or the second part of verse 2, through the sixth verse, we see the Messiah's prophesied activities that he will accomplish after he returns to earth. So he went to heaven, and he's going to return to earth. And Isaiah 6, 61 chapter verses 2b through 6, sixth verse, tell what the future will be, actually. Starting the day of vengeance of our God to comfort mourners. It's good for some and bad for others. It comforts the mourners. In these scriptures, we see first Christ's work on earth before his ascension. You can see that in verses 1 and 2a, to the beginning of verse 2. Then we see his return to earth from heaven. We see the vengeance of God at the end of Jacob's trouble in Daniel's 70th week prophecy. He describes the joy and the comfort after the tribulation, when Christ comes to reign in the millennium, the thousand-year reign prophesied in the book of Revelation of the Bible. Israel is to be reigning with him to comfort all that mourn. Israel reigning on earth. They've been despised for so long, and they will be reigning with Christ on the throne in the land. The land. The verses that follow here, this list, they list many things that are related to Christ's second coming to earth. Let's start again with the last part of verse 2 in Isaiah 61. The day of vengeance. Vengeance is not a comfortable thing. The day of vengeance of our God to comfort all that mourn. Verse 3, to appoint unto them that mourn in Zion. Did I get that right? To appoint unto them that mourn in Zion, to give unto them beauty for ashes, and the oil of joy for mourning, the garment of praise for the spirit of heaviness, that they might be called trees of righteousness, the planting of the Lord, that he might be glorified. That's the goal there, isn't it? That's what it's going to all bring about, the glory of the Lord. Some interesting things in there. The oil of joy for mourning, garment of praise, trees of righteousness, the planting of the Lord. So you can see that it's better for Israel when they get into the millennial reign of Christ. Better than it had been in the tribulation. Going on to Isaiah 61 verse 4, and they shall build the old wastes, they shall raise up the former desolations, and they shall repair the waste cities, the desolations of many generations, and strangers shall stand and feed your flocks, and the sons of the alien shall be your plowmen and your vine dressers. There's aliens turn up again. They're not absent from the scriptures. Certain scriptures, Paul's scriptures, he talks about the aliens, alien Gentiles. In other words, those Gentiles at that time will be Israel's servants. Israel will then be the head. They'll be the head. And the nations will be the tail, as in Deuteronomy 28:13. We'll go ahead with verse 6 in Isaiah 61 here now. But you shall be named the priests of the Lord. Men shall call you the ministers of our God. And you shall, this is talking to Isaiah now, Isaiah talking from God to Israel now, not to us. You shall eat the riches of the Gentiles, and in their glory shall you boast yourselves. So Israel will be the head and the Gentiles the tail at that time, as prophesied in Deuteronomy 28:13, and well, the whole chapter of 28. The power, the money, and the influence of the Gentiles will come flowing into Israel. Israel will be the nation of priests unto the Lord, as promised in Exodus 19, verses 5 and 6. That seems like an impossibility. For years it seemed like an impossibility, but things can turn around so easily. Finding when they found oil, things turned around pretty much. This COVID can turn things around. The Lord has got He's got knowledge of things that are going to be happening that we can't imagine even yet. But let's look at why Israel is a nation of priests. Look at Exodus 19, verses 5 and 6. Now, therefore, if you will obey my voice and keep my covenant, in other words, if you will keep my covenant, then you shall be a peculiar treasure unto me above all people. Above means separate from them, doesn't it? Not the same, but distinct from them. Above all people, for all the earth is mine, and you shall be unto me a kingdom of priests. A kingdom of priests. And an holy nation. These are the words which thou shalt speak unto the children of Israel. Well, holy nation, that hasn't happened yet, has it? God has yet to make that happen. But a kingdom of priests, that, if you look in Exodus 29, priests have to be sanctified for that job, for that position, and that's done by water. Washing them with water. Purification, they call that in John, I think that's John chapter 4. 25 and 26, purification. That's why John the Baptist came baptizing in water. At times when God said that Israel is the head and the Gentiles are the tail, if you had been thinking that Israel was the same as Gentiles in the eyes of God at those times, then that's not biblical thinking. The Lord is pretty clear in these scriptures that Israel is different, not to be counted with the nations. From the beginning, you can see two entities. You can see two separate domains, the earthly domain and the heavenly domain. Genesis 1:1. In the beginning, God created the heaven and the earth. And Israel was promised the earth in Genesis 12:7 and in Genesis 13:15 and other places. Genesis 12:7, and the Lord appeared unto Abram and said, unto thy seed will I give this land, and there builded he an altar unto the Lord who appeared unto him. So this land is given to Israel, to the descendants of Abram. Look at Genesis 13:15. For all the land which thou seest, to thee will I give it, and to thy seed forever. The body of Christ is promised in heavenly places, not in the land, in other words, but in the heavens. Philippians 3:20. For our conversation is in heaven, from whence also we look for the Savior, the Lord Jesus Christ. And in the meantime, while we're looking, look at Ephesians 2:6, and hath raised, talking about saved people, has raised us up together and made us to sit together in heavenly places in Christ Jesus. from the time of Leviticus 20, verses 24 to 26, Israel was separated from the Gentiles in order to be holy unto the Lord. So there is a difference there. And if you do not recognize that difference and separate what is about the heavenly body of Christ from the rest of Scripture that is to land-bound Israel, you can't understand the Bible. You have ignored the basic key to understanding the Bible. The Lord only revealed it to Paul about how to be saved into the body of Christ, so that it's the only place you can find God's instructions about how to be saved. It's in Paul's epistles. If you wrongly assume that what is written in the Bible is all written to us, and it's all written about us, it's a wrong assumption. All written to, you know, if you think it's all written to Israel, or about Israel, it's not correct either. You need to, you're going to find self-contradictions if you mix them together that way. Say they're all, it's all to Israel, or it's all to the body of Christ. You'd either reject the Bible as full of mistakes, or you'd start correcting it. You'd say, well, the Bible doesn't mean this, it means this other thing. You make slight changes or redefining terms so that it doesn't seem that the Bible is contradicting itself. The Bible doesn't contradict itself. You need to leave it alone, except to study it, and to recognize what is, who's being addressed. That's a simple step in any literature. Don't assume it was all to you. And, you know, otherwise you're going to start thinking that you are Israel, when you're not Israel. You're Gentiles that have believed the gospel of Christ, gospel of the grace of God, to become part of the body of Christ. Just take all the Bible, to whom it was written, separating the two entities, Israel, from the body of Christ. Now, most of the Bible was written to Israel, except for Paul's 13 epistles of Romans through Philemon, which are God's complete revelation. And it's to and about the body of Christ in Romans through Philemon. It's for us. Jesus Christ quoted part of that scripture, and the scripture we've been looking at in Isaiah 61, verses 1 through 6. He quoted part of it, and he cut it short in righteousness, not finishing the quote. And for a good reason, we'll see. Look at Luke chapter, let me find my place here, 4, verse 15 we'll start at. And he taught in their synagogues, being glorified of all. Verse 16, and he came to Nazareth, where he had been brought up, and as his custom was, he went into the synagogue on the Sabbath day, and stood up for to read. Verse 17, and this is Luke 4:17, and there was delivered unto him the book of the prophet Isaiah. That's, we call it Isaiah in English. And when he had opened the book, he found the place where it was written. So, you know, having said that, in the scripture there, it shows that Jesus knew what he would read. He looked for it. He found it. And he started reading. Jesus quoted from the Isaiah passage that included Isaiah 61, verses 1 through 6. But here's what he read. when he read it, verse 18, the Spirit of the Lord is upon me because he hath anointed me to preach the gospel to the poor. He hath sent me to heal the brokenhearted. Healing was one of the signs of the Messiah. They were supposed to recognize who the Messiah was by his being able to heal. He has sent me to heal the brokenhearted, to preach deliverance to the captives, and recovering of sight to the blind, to set at liberty them that are bruised, verse 19, critical here, to preach the acceptable year of the Lord. Then he stopped. He stopped as if it was the end after the first phrase of verse 2, to preach the acceptable year of the Lord. Christ did not read about the day of the vengeance, day of vengeance of our God, to comfort all that mourn. Then he said something startling about the verses and that he had just read. He stopped after he said, to preach the acceptable year of the Lord. Verse 20, and he closed the book, and he gave it again to the minister and sat down, and the eyes of all them that were in the synagogue were fastened on him. Verse 21, and he began to say unto them, this day is this scripture fulfilled in your ears. Christ was saying that he was the one in that the scripture was talking about. Christ was saying that what he read in Isaiah 61 verses 1 and the first part of 2 up through the acceptable year of the Lord, it referred to him and to his ministry to them that day. What he went around preaching involved him being the anointed one, to preach good tidings unto the meek, to bind up the brokenhearted, to proclaim liberty to the captives, to open the prison, the opening of the prison to them that are bound, and to proclaim the acceptable year of the Lord. Only the part that Jesus had read was to be fulfilled at that time while he was on earth. The Lord was telling them what his earthly ministry would include. The last part of Christ's earthly ministry involved Isaiah 61, verse 2, the first part of it. But only through the first phrase there, the acceptable year of the Lord. So we know that the acceptable year of the Lord occurred during his earthly ministry, and we know that what comes after that hasn't happened yet, so it's going to come when the Lord returns, when he comes back to earth. Jesus Christ was informing them that the last thing in Jesus Christ's earthly ministry would be the acceptable year of the Lord. To see what Christ was saying was to come next in prophecy after his earthly ministry, look at what Christ stopped before reading. What did he leave off and not say would be part of his earthly ministry? The next event was the day of vengeance of our God, to comfort all that mourn. Well, that's Jacob's trouble. That's the tribulation period. Do you remember who it will be that mourns? Who's going to be the mourners at that time? Look again in Zechariah 12:10, and we're going to close here soon. If you got any questions, get them ready. I will pour upon the house of David and upon the inhabitants of Jerusalem the spirit of grace and of supplications. That's momentous there. They've been under the law. It's the gospel of the grace of God that saves us. And God says he's going to pour out on them the spirit of grace and of supplication. That takes away any binding, any wall, any trouble they've got in believing that he's their Messiah. They're under grace. Poured on them the Spirit of grace, and they shall look upon me, whom they've pierced, and they shall mourn for him as one mourneth for his only son, and shall be in bitterness for him as one that is in bitterness for his firstborn. So they shall mourn for him. That's who the mourners are that will be comforted at the end of the tribulation. So those that mourn will be the house, those of Israel that had not believed that Jesus was the Christ, the Messiah. They still do not believe until they see him coming down in the clouds and they see his pierced hands, and they will mourn for him whom they have pierced. So that's several other lessons and things to see in this, but we're going to stop right there for today. Okay, any comments or questions?